Blog Talk Radio.
Hallelujah. In the name of thy Son, Yahushua HaMashiach, our Savior, our Redeemer, our Savior coming true. We thank you for allowing us to see another day, allowing us to see another Shabbat. We ask, Father, that you forgive us for our sins and that you hear our prayer. Once again, Father, thank you for separating this time for us, that we may come before you and worship and praise and glory. Father, thank you for the words that was given to us last night by our brother Yaakov. Thank you, Father, for protecting us, leading us and guiding us, for keeping us, Father. We ask, Father, that anyone that is hurt mentally, spiritually, emotionally, to give them exactly what they need, Father. Strengthen us mentally, Father. These are some troubling times for the mind, this era that we're living in, Father. Bless on your straight and narrow, Father. When we go to the left or to the right, chastise us in your mercy, Father. Bring us back onto your path. And just keep growing us individually and collectively, Father. Give us what we need to reach that next level and get that much closer to you. We thank you once again in the name of your Son and for your Son, Yahushua HaMashiach. Be you Yahweh, our mighty one, King of the universe, who has chosen good prophets and was pleased with their words and were uttered with truth. Blessed be you Yahweh, who chooses the Torah, Moshe his servant, Israel his nation, and the prophets of truth and righteousness. Amen. Todah. Shabbat shalom, family. Shabbat the day well. Welcome to Magnify the Torah, make it honorable. Hope everyone had a great week, and if you didn't, it's Shabbat. You know, sometimes we get to say that. So today we're going to be talking about forgiveness. Like I said in the prayer to our Father, and I'm pretty sure everybody can attest, these are troubling times, especially for the mind. The way the world is, and this is something that our brother touched on earlier today, the fact that there's so much information out there, and you have to go through so much information, and the fact that everybody has an opinion and just puts it out causes a bunch. Then you have real life situations that people went through, maybe as a child, maybe as an adult. And because they didn't learn forgiveness, because they don't understand powerful and how important this is, when our father, our brother, taught us how to pray, he put that part in there for us to learn. Forgive our debts as we forgive our debtors. Forgive what we owe you, because we owe you, Father. We owe you. We are in debt to you. And because we are in debt to you, that's how we are supposed to forgive our debtors, those who owe us. But sometimes, because we don't get that concept, and it's funny, that was one of the parables that Yahushua said when he was talking about a servant who owed a man something, owed the king something. And he was, the king was coming to collect. So what he said, he was in charge of the books. And he went to the people that owed the king something, and the king, he said, how much do you owe? I owe $50,000. Nah, now you owe $500. And how much do you owe? I'm paraphrasing. I owe this amount. Nah, you owe less. He was forgiving debts. He was freeing people of debt and freeing people and freeing their mind. Because some debts they can never pay. They can never repay back. And the point of that thing, the point of it, is that the one that was freeing of the debt, he was making friends. He said that the children of darkness are better than that. And the children, they get this concept. Children of light don't get that concept. But children of light, we hold on to things. You know, I was talking to a friend, trying to give him advice. They went through a whole bunch of stuff as a kid, a whole bunch of stuff as an adult. And they just couldn't get over it. You know, and I'm not saying that it's something that you, that is that easy. But when you don't forgive and you don't accept, your circumstances cannot grow. So every year, they go through this cycle, and they know it's coming. Every year, they go through this depression, and they know it's coming. Do anything about it? Why? They didn't learn how to forgive. They didn't learn how to accept. So we're going to start in that. We're going to start in the book of Matthew 6:12. Book of Matthew 6:12. You know, this is part of how when Yahushua was teaching us how to pray, how to approach our Father. And we're going to jump down to to verse 14. It says, "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you." So if you forgive men what they owe you, that debt you owe with our heavenly Father, with Yah, our Father, is forgiven. He says, verse 15, "But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." Because like it or not, I don't care if you say you don't sin, everybody sins. Everybody owes the fault, whether you acknowledge him or not. In your mind, you can put it out your mind. You can not think about it. The circumstances don't change. A debt is owed. Bring it down to our level. What happens when, again, we hold on to these things? How can we grow? How can we get closer to the Father if we're holding on to the past? When is it that we become this new creature? How do we become that new creature? Somebody sent out the thing about a silversmith. And the woman talking about what a silversmith has to do to get the dross off the silver, to get all the impurities off the silver. And the final question was, how do you know when it's ready? And the man said, that's easy. When you see your reflection. But even talking about that, do we understand how much work had to be done to get our reflection in that silver? And more importantly, do we understand how much work the Father is putting in to get his reflection in us? Is his son's reflection in us? The work is being done, but we can't hinder the work. A lot of times we hinder the work with the stuff we want to hold on to. Verse 12, Matthew chapter 6, verse 12. When we look up the word forgive in the Greek, number 863, that word is aphiemi. Aphiemi. And it means, from another word, it means to send, in intensive form, to send forth in various applications, right? So you send forth, you're getting this, but we're asking for, to be forgiven what we owe. Send it away, Father. You know, sort of like how he said, I will take and I'll cast away into the sea of forgiveness. I'll cast that old you all those memories and all that. I'll throw it into the sea, that remembrance of you doing me wrong. I'm going to throw it away. I'm sending it away into the sea of forgiveness, right? But this other word that it comes from in the Greek, number 575, this word is apo. It says, a primary participle, it means off, that is away, in various senses of place, time, and this, that, and another. So what we say, take this off of me. Why? Because these debts is weighing me down. So Yahushua said, look, cool. The debts weighing you down, You want them all for you? How can I for you? I'll bear this burden for you. Now the burden is off you. In the Brown, Spriggs, and Driver, it says the definition is to separate. So what we're doing, what he's doing, is separating from what we owe. He's separating us from what we owe. And this is part of the prayer. And this is part of one of the things we should be asking our Father to do. Right? So when Yahushua says, you're healed, you're complete, and sin no more. Hold up. I separated you from whatever burden you had. Right? Don't put that burden back on you again. Don't. We talk about it all the time. Don't get on that hamster wheel. Going round and round and round and round. Round and round again. Stop putting that burden on you. So we're going to look at a couple of scenarios within the word. Right? We're going to start with our brother David, 2 Samuel, going to chapter 12, starting at verse 1. Now, this is after, we know the story, we've been through it. This is after he had Uriah killed. This is after he had Uriah killed, and Yahweh sending Nathan to talk to David. So, 2 Samuel chapter 12, starting at verse 1, and it says, and Yahweh sent Nathan unto David, and he came unto him, and said unto him, there were two men in one city, the one rich and the other poor. The rich man had exceeding many flocks and herds. But the poor man had nothing, save one little ewe lamb, which he had bought and nourished up, and it grew up together with him, and with his children it did eat. It did eat of his own meat, and drank of his own cup, and lay in his bosom, and was unto him as a daughter. And there came a traveler unto the rich man, and he spared to take of his own flock and of his own herd to dress for the wayfaring man that was come unto him, poor man's lamb, and dressed it for the man that was come to him. And David's anger was greatly kindled against the man. And he said to Nathan, as Yahweh liveth, the man that has done this thing shall surely die. And he shall restore the land fourfold, because he did this thing, and because he had no pity. Another thing. First thing that happened. David got angry. Remember this. See, whenever that anger kindles up, that's Hasatan's playground. That's his playtime. That's where he works. Because David, what do you say? He shall restore because he had no pity. And right now, David ain't having no pity either. He's not having no mercy. Verse 7. And Nathan said to David, you are that man. You are the man. So what did David do? David judged himself. He said, you are that man. Thus saith Yahweh, mighty one of Israel. I anointed thee king over Israel, and I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul. You know, we're going to stop right there. But you see what happened when, let's keep on going. He said, I anointed thee over Israel, and I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul, and I gave thee thy master's house and thy master's wives into thy bosom, and gave thee the house of Israel and Judah, and if that had been too little, I would moreover have given unto thee such and such things. So he says, and this is number 9, wherefore hast thou despised the commandment of Yahweh to do evil in his sight? This is, why have you done this, David? And then on top of that, we know he's talking about that incident. But even within the question, when Nathan put that forward to him, the first thing that David said, this guy gonna die. He says, as Yahweh's living, the man that did this shall surely die. No pity. No mercy. No forgiveness. No nothing. So what did Yahweh ask him? Why have you despised my commandment? Why? You angry. You mad. See, when we're not in control of these emotions, again, he loves playground. He loves it. We're not thinking like it. We ain't thinking like it. We ain't worrying about you're not worrying about no commands of Yahweh when you're angry. You're self-indulgent. You only worrying about what you want. You're not worrying about what the words say. You're not thinking correctly. You're not worrying about what was done for you. He said, and Yahweh brought up all the mercies that Saul could have killed you. Protected you. To the point where I gave you this kingdom. Look at all the mercies that I showed you. You owe me. You owe me. Right? So let's go to another parable. Well, let's go to a parable now that Yahushua said. Something in correlations with this. This is in the book of Matthew, chapter 18, starting in verse 21. Book of Matthew, chapter 18, starting in verse 21. And this reads, then came Peter unto him and said, Master, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till 7 times? Yahushua said unto him, I say not unto thee until 7 times, until 70 times 7. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king which would take account of his servants. And we had begun to wrestle one was brought unto him, which owes him 10,000 talents. Which owes him 10,000 talents. Before as much as he had not to pay, his master commanded him to be sold, and his wife, and his children, and all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Master, have patience with me. Pay me all. Then the master of the servant was moved with compassion and loosened him and forgave his debt because he asked. He was in dire straits. Right? That fear of him losing everything caused him to ask his master to have patience with him. Verse 27. Then the master of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him his debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that without oaths. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into the prison till he should pay his debt. So the fact that this fellow servant grabbed him by the throat, that shows for a little bit of anger. He's not thinking right. And he's not worrying about, he's not worrying about the mercy that was just shown to him, the forgiveness that was just shown to him by his master. He just got forgave. Amount of money can't buy. You didn't have that type of money. His wife and his kids was going to be sold. Everything that he had, he was going to lose. And it was forgiven of him. But right now, this man is in his feelings. And he grabbing up on a man, jacking this man up for a lot less than what he was forgiven for. Why? He's in his feelings. And when we give in our feelings, and when we get, and our feelings don't really have to be a feeling, it's just our thoughts. Because again, talking to that friend, show me that. Trapped. You're trapped by the past. I guess they got some distraction going on in the house. Always amazing. But you're trapped by the past. And as long as you stay trapped by that past, as long as you don't have forgiveness, acceptance, that's what's going to happen. You can't grow, and you're not going to know. So you're not going to think about Saul. And the enemy is going to have a field day with you. He says, verse 29, and his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him in the prison so he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and came unto their master all that was done. Then his master, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgive thee all that thou, all that debt, because you asked me to, you desired. Should not you also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? In other words, same words what Yahushua said, the way I showed you mercy. Shouldn't you have passed that along? Shouldn't you have been merciful? Because you asked for mercy and you got it. So because you asked for it, that means you are the gate. He says, should not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his master was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if you from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses. Because we owe. There shouldn't be anything hindering us from forgiving our brothers, forgiving our sisters. Why? What is hindering Yah, our Father, from forgiving us? We ask for it, we give it. That's the example that was put forth for us. See, but when we're in our feelings, we're not thinking about Torah. We're not thinking about what was done for us. Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 26. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26 reads, be ye angry and sin not. Just because you're in your feelings, don't forget that talk. Just because you feel a certain way, because I was going through some stuff, you know, and I'm sitting up there, I was talking to Ivan, and this is where he made me realize, you know, I was talking to him, and I told him, I said, Ivan, I just feel, and you know, we word things a certain way. In my mind, I'm thinking these my thoughts. I said, well, the world, I feel as though the world cheated me. I feel cheated again. You know, been down this road. Because I say the world cheating me. I'm not saying the world cheating me. I'm saying, Father, you cheating me. Father, you being unfair. That's what I'm really saying. But you know, we try to disguise it. Slick talk or whatever. See? But I realized, see, I didn't want to say it that way. Why? That's the Bible. When you're feeling these things and you're feeling a certain way, hold up. My Father's not unfair. And I know he's not. Right now, I'm just in my feelings. And I always war with that one. I go back and forth, with these things. Again, because these are perilous times for the mind. Hello is really cranking it up. And he's not cranking, he's cranking it up mentally. He's cranking up the mental anguish that you go through. All this information. that's where the battle at. When those feelings start coming up. And let's just get finished reading. It says, be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. In other words, you can be angry, but don't you forget that Torah. That's what he's telling you. Verse 27, neither give place to the devil. Why? He's coming whenever those feelings rise up in you. Whenever those feelings rise up in you. That's when he's coming. That's when he tries to slide up in there and get those different thoughts and get those different emotions going and get you off balance, get you off center, get you going to and fro. By the time you're into that double-minded man or woman. But we have to stay grounded. We have to battle what we feel with reality. Is what we feel the truth of the matter? Or is it what we're feeling? Because when we look at the truth of the matter, the same way when we sit back there and all of these videos, and here's the thing. I love it. Told I would buy everybody for putting all those videos out about these vaccinations and this, that, and another. But guess what? It's been proven that the natural immunity is what we're supposed to do. It's been proven scientifically. And it's not a coincidence that the man said it was 15 studies. Why it was 15 studies? It was just this amount of 15 to prove that our natural immunity, that we don't need no upgrades as far as man goes. It's been proven. The whole world knows it. Our Heavenly Father has spoken. And we stood on that word. We do what we're supposed to do. But again, you got so many people out there that will disregard that and they'll go, oh, I feel as though this. But the facts remain that within all these studies, your natural immunity is better, way better. It says, be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Hold on for 1 second. And I'm back. Pardon me. It says, be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. Why? That's what he's coming. All right? We got to pay attention to those things. Why? The point of Satan is to make us forget that talk. He wants us to sin. And whatever state that we're in, he'll use it, he'll take that chance, he's going to use that opportunity to cause us, and manipulate us, because he can't cause us to do it. He can't make us do it. He can entice us to do it. He can provoke us to do it. But ultimately, the decision is ours. That's why I say, be angry to sin not. Why? The decision is yours, even within your feelings. You know, talking to my friend. Again, like I say, every year, for a certain time, we get depressed. And they know it's coming. They won't do anything about it. And it's sad. It's sad. Because they've been going through it for 10 years. 10 years. And don't see a need to change. Every year, take my book. Really sad. And you can't tell them. You tell them. But they ain't listening. They'd rather wallow in the mud. So what you gotta do? Let them be muddy. Deuteronomy chapter 4, 5 and 6. Again, be angry, but sin not, neither give place to the devil. But don't let the sun go down on your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Why? Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 5. It says, behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as Yahweh, my mighty one, commanded me, that you should do so in the land wherever you go, to possess it. You got taught statutes and judgments. But if you're not thinking about them, are you going to follow them? How many times have Yahweh said, Israel, you forsook my law. You forsook my law. You didn't keep my law. You backslid. You did this, you did that. Why? My law wasn't something that was on your mind. And then it got to the point where my law wasn't on your mind so much. You was in your feelings so bad at how you feel that you said, let the mighty one of Israel get away from us. Tell us smooth things. I don't want to hear anything he got to say. Lie to us. Say that Yahweh said this. Say that Yahweh said that. When the king said, look, we're going to go to battle. I need your help. Okay, here I come. Look, let's go and ask these prophets. Is we going to win? Are you going to win? Yeah, we're going to win. Wait a minute. Is there anybody that prophesies for Yahweh? One king said, yeah, it's one, but I don't like to talk to him. What? I don't like to talk to the creator of heaven and earth. I don't want to talk to his spokesperson. Yeah, he never said anything good about me. So I'd rather hear a lie, because that makes me feel good. Don't hurt my feelings. I'd rather hear the lies. He says, behold, Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 5, he says, behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as Yahweh, my mighty one, commanded me to do so in the land wherever you go to possess it. Verse 6, keep therefore and do them. This is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. But if you're angry and you're not thinking about the Torah, How can the nations hear this if you're not thinking about it? If it's not on your mind? If it's not on your mind? If the keepers of the Torah don't think about it, and more importantly, if you're not thinking about it, how can we execute these statutes, these judgments, I mean these statutes, these ordinances, and these judgments, Yahweh's judgments? How can we do it? If every time something comes up, we are not feeling, this wrath comes upon us. How can we do it? How can it be done? See, Satan has a ball with that. And then it becomes what we think and what we feel, and then we're executing not Yahweh's judgment, our judgment. That's what happens. And by doing that, and by us, we make void reason. They asked you who's with some things. We're going to paraphrase it. We just going to go through the part. He said they was asking him about washing hands and this, that, and another. He said, why don't you, Stevens, do what the fathers say, do what the elders say, Yahushua asks him, hold up, you're making void the commands of the Most High by what you think, what the elders think. Our feelings and our thoughts and our emotions void out what Yahweh thinks. And when our feelings and our emotions and what we think is being taught to men, then what? What's happening to the world? The book of James, chapter 2, starting at verse 13. Well, not a bunch of that starting at, but book of James, chapter 2, verse 13. The whole point. He says, for he shall have judgment without mercy, he being Messiah, when he sits down and judge. At that time, you're going to get what you got coming. He said, for he shall have judgment without mercy, that have showed no mercy. So again, God, forgive our debts as we forgive our debtors. Have mercy on us as we have mercy on others. For he shall have judgment without mercy, that have shown no mercy. Why? And mercy rejoices against judgment. You want the mercies of the Most High. Why? Because everybody owes. Everybody owes. And if you think you don't owe, you are absolutely incorrect. If you think you paid the debt, if you think you are in the Most High's evil, you are absolutely incorrect. And one of Paul's writings, he talks about how he has declared everybody a sinner. We say, all has fallen short of the glory of the Most High. But he said, though he could show his mercy, he put everybody in debt to him. Not put everybody in debt to him. Let me suggest that. The actions of our forefathers caused us to be in debt. Our forefather being Adam. Because of his actions, him and Kawhi put us within debt, which Yahweh allowed to happen. And he allowed it to happen. The revelation of that came about by our brother Shaul. He said one of the reasons that he allowed it to happen is because he wanted to show mercy unto everybody. So again, if you want the mercy of the Most High, show mercy. If you want the forgiveness of the Most High, show forgiveness. But ultimately, learn to forgive yourself. If you don't forgive yourself, you stunt your growth. Get off the hamster wheel. Accept that your life may not be the way you want. Accept that you might not. You didn't make the choices that were perfect for you. You didn't make all the right choices. You didn't play this game flawlessly. Mistakes were made. Things didn't turn out right. You can start it over more times than you wanted to. Accept that. Forgive yourself for that. Don't hold it against you. Don't be begrudging to yourself. Learn from your mistakes. Grow from your mistakes. The race is not given to the swift, but to the strong. It's given to the one that endures to the end. That means when you run it, you might fall. Might sprain an ankle. Might twist a knee. But that don't mean you stop moving towards that goal. Sometimes it gets painful. But sometimes you might have to drag that leg, you know. Sometimes you gotta stand when you don't want to stand. Sometimes you gotta fight, you know what, you gotta fight when you don't want to fight. But endure to the end. So family, that's our lesson for the day. Pray that everybody get what they need. You know, either grow us how he sees fit, nurture us and how he, you know, he gonna do what he do. For example, he gonna do what he do. So if you have any questions, put them on the, you know, text line, you know, like, again, always, edification, always. All right. So, Blessed are you, Yahweh, King of the universe, Rock of all eternities, righteous in all generations, the trustworthy mighty one, who says and does, who speaks and fulfills, all whose words are true and righteous. Trustworthy are you, Yahweh, our mighty one, and trustworthy are your words. Not one of your words to stand back to its origin unfulfilled, for you are mighty one, trustworthy and compassionate king. Blessed are you, Yahweh, the mighty one, who is trustworthy in all his words. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. In the name of thy son, we say, HaMashiach, our Savior, our Redeemer, our soon coming King. Father, once again, thank you for the gift of life. Thank you for the Shabbat. Thank you for this time that you have set apart for us from before you, as your sons and as your daughters. Thank you, Father, for bearing our load. Thank you, Father, for the light yoke of Yahushua HaMashiach. Thank you, Father, for protecting us, for leading us and guiding us, for strengthening us, building us up little by little, bringing us closer to you, little by little. Father, thank you. We just thank you and praise. Praise you and thank you, Father. In Yahushua's name, Amen. Pass along, fam.
Once was a kingdom far, far away, where love was the rule of the day. Nothing more and nothing less than to give your friend your best. As much more story that I could tell to make the hardest hearts swell. This is the story when love was when love was king, do you remember when love was king? When love was king, I remember, his fist unfurled with open arms for the world.
of hungry children. First he'd think to pull their lives from the brink. When love was king, he rescued souls that were lost in the sea. In drifting vessels, he would hear their plea. When love was king, he threw a line before they'd sink and gave the thirsty ones a drink. He told the meek that they should try to use the sword to smite the lie. But being kind is for the weak. I pray the Lord these words we speak. When